We begin this week with a solution that is becoming a problem. In short, antibiotics used to kill bacteria, but are now losing their punch.
What we're seeing as a more and more growing problem is that there are microbes now that more commonly, particularly in a hospital setting, are resistant to many, and in some cases, essentially all of the antibiotics that are available. And that becomes a scary proposition.
That's Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. Recently, he wrote an essay in the Journal of the American Medical Association with suggestions on new ways to approach the growing problem of bacteria, which are resistant to antibiotics. He spoke with Sound Medicine's Jill Dittmeyer.
Well, Dr. Anthony Fauci, welcome to Sound Medicine.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
For years, the media has been covering the threat of this antibiotic resistance, but headlines lately have sounded a little bit dire. How serious would you call the threat of antibiotic resistance to global health?
I think it's really quite a substantial threat. It's certainly getting worse. We have really no corporate memory of what it was like prior to the era of antibiotics, which have been transforming in their life-saving capabilities, because we've been used to having infections, no matter how serious they are, that somehow or other you can treat them, you can find the right antibiotic. But things that you could have easily treated years ago, now we're having difficulty because of the emergence of antibiotic resistance.
And which of those strains are you most concerned with now?
Well, there are several. The ones that are really of concern are what we call the gram-negative microbes, the Klebsiellas that we've heard about outbreaks, and we've even have an outbreak here in our own hospital at the NIH in Bethesda, Maryland, but it's not unique to us. It really happens all throughout. There's a microbe called C. difficile, in which there have been outbreaks, particularly in nursing and extended care homes that have become resistant. There's the ever-present methicillin-resistant Staph aureus, or MRSA, that everyone's familiar with because it's been around a while. It started off as a hospital-acquired infection, and now the thing that gets a bit concerning is that MRSA, or the resistant form of Staph aureus, is seen in the community, and people are getting infected apart from being in the hospital. And then there's the issue of certain sexually transmitted diseases, such as gonorrhea, which is now becoming resistant to many of the common antibiotics that very easily treated them. So there's a whole group of microbes, particularly the ones that I've just mentioned, that are of particular concern.
And how did that happen?
Well, it happens over a period of time from a number of factors. It isn't a unidimensional thing. Probably the inappropriate use of antibiotics is a major issue. There have been recent studies that show that, you know, as much as 3/4 of the adults who might come into a clinic with bronchitis who have a viral infection are getting treated with antibiotics inappropriately because you don't treat viral infections with antibiotic. And whenever you treat an infection with an antibiotic, particularly one that you don't need, you do a process which is called selection of strains that ultimately are resistant to the antibiotic. So if you kill off all the good sensitive bacteria, what you're left with in the community in general, and specifically in a given individual, is a microbe that would be resistant to common antibiotics. So inappropriate use of antibiotics is one. The other reason is poor identification of resistant strains, not even being aware. And that comes under the category of better diagnostics to be able to determine that you're dealing with a microbe that's resistant to antibiotics. The other is surveillance, and that is very closely linked to the diagnosis that I just said, particularly in hospitals, because sometimes you have hospital outbreaks that are under the radar screen and people don't notice it. And then there's infection control measures, which we do in hospitals well, but in some hospitals not so well. So if someone would come in either with an already established resistant microbe or it happens in the hospital, that if you don't have the proper infection control capabilities, that could spread either to the healthcare providers who might spread it to other people in the hospital or even to bring it home to their own family. So it's a whole cascade of events. And then there's the issue of the inappropriate use of antibiotics in agriculture, in animals, not to treat a disease in the animals, such as livestock, but for growth purposes, because it's known that if you treat them with antibiotics, that you can have a greater acceleration of growth of the animal. And that's not an appropriate way to use antibiotics. So there are the five or six things that I just mentioned all come together in a way that actually promote the increase and the surge in antibiotic resistance that we're seeing today in the 21st century.
So what is your advice to consumers then when they come down with an illness, or that we see all these products that say, you know, use this and have the antibacterial properties? What should we be doing?
Well, I think one of the things that can be done that's quite helpful is don't put pressure that's inappropriate on your physician to give you an antibiotic unless there really is an indication. I mean, it is unfortunate, but the truth that a typical scenario is that a child has a sore throat, there's no bacteria identified, but the child is in some discomfort, and the mother says, we've got to give the baby an antibiotic, or the adolescent an antibiotic, when you don't really need an antibiotic. I mean, one of the most common of infections that are inappropriately treated with an antibiotic that don't need it is that when someone gets an upper respiratory tract infection and then develops a slight either a bronchitis or a sinusitis. Now, that could be a bacteria, and if it is and it's documented, then it's appropriate to treat someone with an antibiotic. But a significant percentage of those upper respiratory tract infections are not bacterial. They're viral, and they should not be treated. So I think parents being somewhat less aggressive in trying to push the use of antibiotics when, in fact, the physician might be a bit reluctant to do that.
We are speaking with Dr. Anthony Fauci. He is with the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. Do you foresee, then, the development of new drugs in the future?
Oh, yes. One of the problems that has occurred is that there really has been a lagging in what we call the pipeline of new antibiotics for a number of reasons, including the lack of incentive on the part of many of the drug companies with the capability of making antibiotics. They just really put their resources in other areas and not the antibiotic area. Because if you look at for example, 16 antibiotics were approved by our Food and Drug Administration from 1983 through 1987, whereas only two new antibiotics were approved between 2008 and 2012. Now, that's getting better now over the last 18 months to a couple of years, but we've got to reinvigorate the pipeline of new antibiotics being produced. So we really need to do better in that regard.
What about vaccines? Do you foresee a vaccination that might help?
Well, the answer to that is yes, because you're not going to get antibiotic resistance to microbes that you don't get infected with. So one of the ways to circumvent or avoid the emergence of antibiotic resistance would be to prevent the infection in the first place. Now, there are a number of ways to do that. One of the most efficient and cost-effective way to prevent infection is by vaccination. So let me give you an example. I had mentioned just a bit ago that methicillin-resistant Staph aureus, or what we commonly refer to as MRSA, is an important problem, as well as some of the gram-negatives, such as the Klebsiella or C. difficile or other types of antibiotics. If someone is in a clinical situation, such as getting ready to go into the hospital for an operation in which one of the complications is an infection of a particular surgical site or of a particular apparatus that gets put into a person, one of the ways to avoid having to treat somebody with the possibility of antibiotic resistance is to develop a vaccine, and before you put the person in the risk situation, and the risk situation being entering a hospital, getting surgery, getting a transplant, or what have you, that if we had the appropriate vaccines, we could prevent those infections before they occur and hence not have to worry about antibiotic resistance with those infections.
Your organization also talks about kind of changing our own natural bacterial environment in our bodies as a way that might help as well.
Well, it could help and it could hurt. For example, we have in our bodies an enormous, enormous number of bacteria that are safe. They're not doing harm. They're living in some respects, in a helpful, productive way. They colonize the gut, they colonize the nose, the oral cavity, the skin, the genital organs, the vagina in a woman. And those are the kinds of things that are naturally occurring. When you inappropriately treat someone with antibiotics, particularly for a prolonged period of time, you perturb that microbiome, as we call them, which is the broad colonies of microbes that safely live within us. So we have to be careful that there's a couple of ways to cause harm by inappropriately using antibiotics. One, by selecting for a specifically resistant bacteria, and the other is by unnecessary perturbation of the natural bacterial flora in the body.
So how do we balance the fear of this and be proactive but not overactive, I guess?
Well, one of the things is you don't want to interject fear into this. We don't want to be afraid. We want to be alert and we want to be proactive in doing things about it. We want to avoid the kinds of things that we know are leading to antibiotic resistance. And I mentioned a few of those, particularly making sure that we don't inappropriately use antibiotics. The research field, like my colleagues and I, can do things by developing better diagnostics for surveillance, better hospital control when there are outbreaks, and ourselves make sure that we judiciously use antibiotics. So there are things the public can do, and there are things that the health and science sector can do.
Well, Dr. Fauci, thank you for joining us today.
You're quite welcome. Good to be with you.
Dr. Anthony Fauci directs the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, which is one of the National Institutes of Health. We'll post more information about antibiotic resistance on our website. Just go to soundmedicine.org.